Welcome back. 417, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. It's Wednesday afternoon. That means Emily Miller, Washington Times, senior editor for the opinion pages. Hello, Emily.
Happy New Year, Andy.
Happy New Year to you. And It is a Happy New Year because we averted the fiscal cliff, or...
Well, we fell down the fiscal cliff, and I don't know about you, but I've lost scrapes from that fall for 2 hours.
You know, honestly...
so dramatic, unnecessarily.
I've been watching this thing. I had some time off, and even with the time off, I couldn't get away from it because it's too much fun looking at a train wreck. You know, I'm sorry. That's what it's that morbid curiosity thing. I got to tell you, last night I was embarrassed. I was really embarrassed watching the House of Representatives. You know, it just appeared that we can't, even with control of the House, we can't do a thing. We just folded in this whole deal.
Absolutely. That's the headline of the editorial I just wrote for tomorrow's paper. It's Checkmate Obama.
Yeah.
He really worked over those Republicans. And, you know, I mean, look at Boehner walked into this debate saying, we will not raise marginal tax rates, 0%, and we have to have meaningful entitlement reform spending cuts. That's what he said in, you know, right after the election. That was the first thing he said. Kept to it. And then in the end, tax rates went up over $400,000, and there's zero spending cuts. In fact, the whole thing adds $4 trillion to the deficit over 10 years.
Yeah.
So what in the world did Boehner get out of all this? I don't see anything.
I don't see a thing either, and it really makes me ask the question, what in the world are Mitch McConnell and John Boehner doing in leadership roles?
Well, I mean, I'll say not Mitch McConnell, but Boehner's, you know, his speakership is definitely under threat. I mean, there are conservative groups out there who are saying, you know, it's time for him to go. And you saw, I don't know if you've seen Drudge Report recently, but they have a huge poll up right now saying, should Boehner go? And I voted so I could see the numbers. And it's like, I think it's like 180,000 people have voted, and it's 85% say he should not be speaker.
Yeah.
You know, and that's obviously unscientific, and none of those people have a vote in the House, which is all that matters. But it's definitely, I mean, if you're not going to win, I mean, that's why Newt Gingrich stepped down in, what was it, 98? Because he lost. They lost seats. And, you know, Boehner lost seats. He lost the debt ceiling deal. He lost this deal, you know. You know, he's stuck between, it's very hard to negotiate the Democratic Senate, and this president is impossible, who, by the way, Andy, is golfing again right now.
Yeah, I know.
You're worried about how he's spending his time. What the Republican spin on this is, the leader spin, McConnell and Boehner spin, is, well, what we've done is we've taken all the, we now have the leverage going into the big fights coming up. Now, because they've put off the sequester for 2 more months, even though they've put it off for 16 months already, but 2 more months, the CR runs out in, I think, the 1st of March, and the debt ceiling has come. So they think now that they got this all off, the taxes off the table, they can fight on spending. Look, what reason, you know, Obama has no interest in cutting spending. He said that last night in his victory lap.
That's right.
Can't cut your way to prosperity. Well, yeah, actually you can. You know,
yeah.
You really can cut our way to prosperity. But, you know, this was for him, this was a political win, Obama. He wanted Republicans to break their pledge to not cut taxes. He wanted to do class warfare. And he won exactly what he wanted.
Yep. And now he's emboldened. And in part of what he had to say last night, it echoed what Senator Levin said on the floor last night. Wait a minute now. Don't think there's a cap on taxing, on revenue. No. And then the president comes out and says, yep, now we're going to tackle the spending cuts, but we're going to need a balanced approach.
Balance.
Yeah. And
right?
What happened to the balanced approach last night? There's no balance there.
No, $4 trillion out to the deficit, $300 billion in new spending. And $3.6 trillion is due to all these ridiculous loopholes and deductions. They all join in this. Everyone's to blame for letting those keep going on. You know, if all Republicans kept saying is we want tax reform, simplify the tax code, they did nothing. I mean, it's just unbelievable how many levels they lost. I will say, though, they did win a few minor things. They'll be important more in the long term, but they did win a few concessions. The tax rates are permanent, which I think is so important for two reasons. One is we don't go through this fight every 2 years. We don't have to go through that risk every 2 years. But secondly, because the only way to keep Democrats from growing government further is to stop the revenue streams. So by telling them you can't raise income taxes, you can't raise capital gains or dividend taxes, it keeps them somewhat in check. So making that permanent, I think, is a good thing. And they also made the alternative minimum tax, the AMT, permanently adjusted for inflation, so we don't have that fight as well every year. So there are a couple things that I think are good, but, you know, overall it's a complete disaster.
Yeah, no kidding. And and we're not even feeling the effects of some of the Obamacare taxes that are on the way.
Oh, they came through it. And don't forget, it's not often mentioned because everyone's sort of against it at this point, but everyone's payroll tax went back up 2% just today or
yesterday.
That's right.
Yep, that's right.
Today's the first working day. So everyone's paycheck is going to be less. Like, well, you know, you and I, Andy, get paid on Friday. We'll notice a little cut in our paycheck this week because the payroll tax is back to where it was, which I think is fine, is actually the one tax I'm okay with because it's not a stimulating tax cut. It was always for 1 year. Obama pushed it for 2 years. We end up just borrowing money against payout Social Security. So, you know, it's not like if tax cuts are permanent like these are, it can stimulate the economy because people know they're going to get them. They know their tax rates. They'll invest. They'll spend.
Yeah.
But still, you know, everyone's – Obama doesn't mention this, but everyone's – I mean, very soon, in the next few days, everyone's going to get a smaller paycheck.
Yeah, you're right. All right, I want to take you to something you wrote about, Two Systems of Justice. This deals with David Gregory on NBC's Meet the Press. This is a fascinating story to me because this guy knowingly broke the law. If I understand correctly, he took, what, a 30-round clip to the studio with him, which, of course, is in the District of Columbia, and those are illegal in the District of Columbia, but yet nothing's really happened to him.
Nothing. And that it's been – it was a week ago Sunday, so it's been 9 days now. And the police opened an investigation because they had to, because he admitted on national TV that he had a 30-round rifle magazine while he was interviewing Wayne LaPierre, NRA. You know, and his point was to say, if we ban these, you know, less people will get killed, which is not accurate at all. But, you know, he was just doing – it was a publicity stunt. Well, before the show aired, NBC called the police station, called D.C. Metropolitan Police Department, asked for permission to bring this illegal object into the city, and they were told no. But they went through with it anyway because, you know, it's this elite world in D.C. where you can get away with these laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so my story today is just to further show how if you're rich and powerful, you're above the law. Now, I think that these firearms laws in D.C. are ridiculous and need to be taken off the books. Like, what is David Gregory going to do with a 30-round magazine without a gun? I mean,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. But for the same reason, former Army Specialist Adam Meckler, who I profiled over the summer, he was arrested for having some loose rounds of ammunition. He didn't have a magazine or a gun. I mean, there's nothing he could put them in. He'd forgotten about them in his backpack and went into the VFW, got arrested and was thrown in jail and couldn't afford to fight this in court, so he took a plea deal, which he regrets. He's on the district's gun registry criminal offense list forever. You know, he has a criminal record. So I talked to Mr. Meckler this week and asked him how he felt about David Gregory, and he said, you know, I inadvertently broke the law. Well, he deliberately broke the law. He knew the law. And he said, you know, if I had known that this was the law, of course I wouldn't have broken it. And he said, it just doesn't seem fair that I did break the law, and I had to pay a fine, I had to get probation, I had to be registered with the criminals. He's like, and then David Gregory gets off scot-free,
mm-hmm.
and he had to spend time in jail. So, you know, I think it just goes to show you, and I just want to see, I mean, I ask every day, and Chief Lanier's office keeps telling me this is an ongoing investigation. Well, he did it on national TV, and he admitted it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see how they can investigate. I mean, this is crack investigating by our police department, which, you know, people get shot every day in the city.
Yeah.
It's taken them 10 days to look at the tape, you know, to see him say on live TV, this is what I'm holding. I mean, I've asked them if they've even interviewed him, and they refuse to tell me. I think from my latest conversation with the police department, it sounds to me that they're building a case to not charge him, which is going to just be outrageous. Because you've heard me talk about all these veterans I've interviewed and spoken with who've been charged with the same under the same statute, these same silly deals, who go to jail.
Yep.
And I have another story that'll be coming out this week on someone I interviewed. He's a federal employee. His wife works in the government as well, and he was dropping her off for a tour at the White House, and he was legally transporting his guns. He had called the police station ahead of time, asked how to legally transport one gun so he could go to the shooting range while his family was in the White House. And he got a long story why he got arrested, but he got arrested thrown in jail, and he was charged with an unregistered gun and two, they're called high-capacity magazines. Now, these were just the standard 15-round magazines that came in his Glock. They weren't in the gun. They're just standard. But he was the same charge that David Gregory's not getting. And Mr. Brinkley had to go to court and had a trial and a full trial, and the prosecutor went full after him. In the end, he won, which is amazing, just the trials a few weeks ago. But, you know, this is the system of justice in this city. It's one is for the, you know, rich and powerful, and one is for everybody else. And completely unfair.
Yeah, and, you know, the other part of that equation is that for years we've heard gun owners say, we don't need tougher gun laws. You need to enforce the laws you have. And here's evidence that they're not willing to do that in some cases.
Right. It all just depends exactly on who you are and who you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, all of this to say, you know, I keep highlighting this for the bigger purpose of getting the city council that has the most restrictive gun laws in the country to take them off the books, because it's ridiculous when these people are being treated like this. This would never happen in any other state in the country, and this is not a state. And, you know, with what happened at Sandy Hook and with the president's push for guns, which, by the way, he mentioned last night at the White House on the fiscal cliff. I mean, it was completely irrelevant. But, you know, of all times, it's just a time for gun owners to stand up for their rights and, you know, not let somebody like David Gregory. I think that's why the story is, you know, bothers so many people, that while their rights are being squashed and the president is trying to take their guns away and the Senate's preparing to do that, you have somebody like David Gregory who's just getting away with it.
Yep. As always, great stuff. Good to talk to you. Happy New Year once again. And we'll do it next Wednesday. Thanks, Emily.
Bye, Andy.
See ya. Emily Miller, senior editor for the opinion pages here at the Washington Times.